We begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Tezvo. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion the Brisa from the previous daf. That is our topic of our parak was discussing regarding making divisions, dividing between the courtyard and the halacha that the previous Mishnah spoke about was Kisvei Kodesh, holy writings. Although that even if they want to divide, they're not allowed to, because it's inappropriate to do that to a Sifri Tanakh. Now, that the Mishnah, the Gemara quoted a Braisa that discussed the order of the books of Tanakh, and so too about who authored them. So, Amamara, the time of the Braisa had mentioned that Yeshua Kasim Sivar, right? Yeshua had written his own Sefer Yeshua, Vishmain the Psukim Shabbat Torah, and they also wrote the last 8 Psukim in the Torah. So, and that's what the Gemara is coming to explain, that this that the Tana of the Braisa said, that the last 8 Psukim of the Torah that Yeshua wrote, it's like the following Tana who we're going to quote, who says that it was Yeshua who had written the last 8 words in the Torah. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Kamanda Amar, this Braisa is like the one who says, Shmoinim Psukim Shabbat Torah Yeshua Kasavan, that the last 8 words in the Torah, it was Yeshua had written them. The time like learning the Braisa, that's actually Machalikis Tanoim, from the words of a Yamasha Maisha, that Maisha died over there till the end, who wrote those words. The pasuk, the last words in the Torah says, V'yamasha Maisha Ever Hashem, that Maisha, the servant of Hashem, died over there. And then it ends till the end, Le'nechal Yisrael. Now, the question is, Efshe Maisha Meis, is it possible that Maisha Rabbeinu passed away, or actually, as the Gir says in Masechet Menachos, that he's alive? And that he's going to write that Moshe Rabbeinu died over there? That's false. If he's dead, then he can't be writing. If he's alive, then he won't be writing that. So Ella ad kan kasa Moshe. So the first opinion says, rather, up until these words, from the beginning of the Torah till there, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Kam ve'elach kasev Yeshua divrei Rabbi Yehuda, which is like the time of the previous Braisa, that those last 8 words, it was Yeshua had written them, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Or v'amrila, some say it was actually Rabbi Nechemi who had said this opinion. Now that Amal Rabbi Shimon said to him, whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemya, Efshe Sefer Torah Chasor Eis Achas, is it possible that the Sefer Torah should be lacking one letter? But Uksivit says the passing in Devarim, L'koyach Es Sefer Torah, I said, take this Sefer Torah, which means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had already written the full Torah. But how is that possible? You're saying the last 8 words he didn't write in his lifetime. Ella rather explains Rabbi Shimon, Ad Kat Nakodesh Baruch Hu Omer. Up until this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Said and he wrote, but from the last 8 words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu can't write it if he's dead, and neither if he's alive he's going to write that he died. He didn't write it, rather, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with his tears. So he did have the complete Sefer Torah. He wrote it, but he can't write such something which is false. He wrote it with his tears. Now, regarding this idea that we mentioned in this Braisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who said and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, is like we find by all the prophets that they would write it from their teachers, which in this case was Moshe Rabbeinu writing what Hashem was telling him, was Kamesh Nemel Alon, like it says over there in Yirmiyah, for Yemelhem Baruch, that Baruch said to them, Mipiv Yikra Elias called Vam Ra'ela, from his mouth he read to me all these things, Vani Kesav Al Sefer Bidya, and I wrote on the scroll with ink, which is that they transcribe the greater ones' teachings. Here also, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the last 8 words, according to Rabbi Shimon, were also written by him, but not by hand, but rather with his tears. Now, the Gemara asks, based on what we just mentioned, Kaman Azla Hada Amr Bishua Bar Abba Amr Rav Gidl Amr Rav, who would that next halacha that we're quoting be like? Which he says, Shmoinu Pesukim Shabbat Torah, the last 8 Pesukim in the Torah, Yochad Kaira Eisen, only an individual reads it, meaning that you don't interrupt, you don't make it into 2 different aliyahs. One person has to read those last 8 psukim contiguous. Says the Gemara, Lame Rabbi Yehuda, is that to say that that's going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write those words. Therefore, it's different than the rest of the Sefer Torah, because really Yeshua wrote it, and therefore it has to be individual, it has to be its own unit, because it's different than the rest of the Torah. Would you like Rabbi Shimon? And obviously that would be not like Rabbi Shimon, because why would these last 8 words be any different if all of the Sefer Torah is written by Moshe Rabbeinu? And that says the Gemara. Now, I feel like Rabbi Shimon, you could even say that this would be going like Rabbi Shimon. Hayil v'shtanu, because since the last 8 words in the Torah, although it was written by Moshe, but they're different than the rest of the Torah, because they were written with his tears, so shtanu, therefore it is different, and therefore it has to be written by a yachid, not meaning having the aliyah, read by an individual, and not to be interrupted by having it in 2 different people. Now, the Rice had mentioned that Yeshua Kosev Svare, that as we mentioned before, that Yeshua wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah according to the Tana of the previous Rice, and he also wrote his own Sefer of Sefer Yeshua. And that has the Gemara book Siv, but it says at the end of Sefer Yeshua, Vayomis Yeshua ben Nun Eved Hashem, that Yeshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Hashem, that he passed away. How could Yeshua write that himself? Says the Gemara, Da'aske Elazar, right, he wrote the majority of it, but Elazar finished off the Sefer. But it says that this Elazar, who is the son of Aaron, that he passed away in that Sefer Yeshua, so how could he have written it? Says the Gemara, no, to ask you Pinchas, because after that, Pinchas finished it off. And therefore, it's not a contradiction, although they wrote it, but that remaining was written by someone else. Similar question. It said in the Brice that Shmuel cost him Svari. That Shmuel wrote his Sefer, what's called Sefer Shmuel. And that the question is, but Vaksiv says in Sefer Shmuel, but Shmuel Meis, that Shmuel died. Says the Gemara, Da'aski God Achizav and Nosna Navi. God, the seer, and Nosna the prophet, they finished off the Sefer. But the majority of it was written by Shmuel, that's why it's called that he wrote it. Now, it said in the Brice that David Kasav Sefer Tilim al De'asar Zakim. The David HaMelech wrote the Sefer Tilim together with contributions from 10 different elders. Now, the question is, V'lechshav Nami Eisen Ezrachi. Why didn't he mention also one of the Mizmairi of Tilim mentioned that was written by Eisen Hazrachi? Why doesn't it mention him? Should be 11. So Merav says, no, Eisen Ezrachi Zehu Avram. One of the 10 mentioned was Avram Avinu. That's actually a reference to Eisen Hazrachi. Because Ksivach, it says over here in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Esa Nezrachi, which actually Rashi has a different nusach, a different version, it actually brings it from a different Pasuk, not of Tehillim, but of in Malachim, where it says, Vayechke Mekol Adam, that he was wise from all the people, Me Esa Nezrachi, etc. So it's regarding that that we find that there's Esa Nezrachi. Ksivachim, it says over there in Yeshaya, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach, who is inspired from the east, Tzedek, Vigayim, righteousness, etc., which that's a reference to Avram Avinu, where he came from the east. So Ezrachi also means the east. And we see that Esan is called Esan Ezrachi. That's he's the one that comes from the east. And therefore, when it says in the Mizmer Tilim, Esan Ezrachi, it's actually a reference to the strong one from the east, which is Avram Avinu. A different question the Gemara asks, Kachashav Meishav and Kachashav Haman, the town of the Brice that mentions the 10 elders that David HaMelech used to contribute to Mizmer Tilim, one was Moshe, one was Haman. And that the Gemara asked, but Vama Rav said that Haman zeh Moshe. Haman is Moshe himself, because Ksivach, it says here in the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, Haman. Ksivachim, it says over there in the Pasuk Bamidbar, b'chol beisi nemanhu. In all my house, he is Neman, he's trustworthy, that's the same word as Haman. So, how can you mention them as two different individuals? Says the Gemara, Trei Haman hava. There were two different Hamans. The Pasuk Melachim Aleph, yeah, that's a reference, like Rav is saying, to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Maskele Haman Ezrachi is a different Haman. Moshe Rabbeinu is actually mentioned explicitly of Tefillah Moshe, so that's not a contradiction. Now the Braisa said that Moshe Kasav Svaroi, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his Sefer, which is called Teres Moshe, he wrote the Chumash, the Torah, Parashas Bilam, and the Parashah Bilam, which is inside the Torah, but it's not in intrinsic to the message of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, the Eiv, and the Sefer of Eiv. Says the Gemara, Misayei l'l Reb Levi bar Lachmo. This opinion of this Braisa, who said that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Eiv, supports the opinion of Reb Levi bar Lachmo. Because Amr Reb Levi bar Lachmo says, Eiv b'mei Moshe Hoya. Eiv, this historic figure, who the Sefer of Eiv is written about, was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know that? Ksivach, it says over in the Sefer Eiv, Mi'itin Eifai. Eiv said, who would give that Eifoy means like how, but here in this reference we'll see that's a reference actually to Moshe Rabbeinu. Who would give that Moshe Rabbeinu v'yichtav mila, that he would write my words, meaning to have my words written down, as we're saying that it's Moshe Rabbeinu who wrote it. How do we see that? Because Ksiv Asim says the pasuk in Shemais that Moshe Rabbeinu says uvemei yivad Eifoy, that oh how, with what will it be known? So we see that Eifoy is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's who he was hoping that Moshe Rabbeinu would write a Sefer, and it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, that the Gemara asked, that the Gzeres Shavah, because it says Eifa be Moshe, that's how the word Eifa by Eve means it was Moshe. But Ve'ema be Mei Yitzchok, let's say that it was actually, he was lives at the times of Yitzchok. Because the Chesiva says, a pasuk in Bereishis, Mi Eifa hu atzad tzayit. Yitzchok said, oh, that who, how is this, who is the one who caught the trapped food that brought it to me? So he also used the word Eifa. Moreover, Ve'ema be Mei Yaakov, maybe say he lived at the times of Yaakov. The Chesiva says, a pasuk in Bereishis, where he said, Imkein, if so, Eifa zoyis asu, that how was this done? You see the word Eifa there too. Maybe say it was at the days of Yosef that he lived. Because as we see that Yosef said, a pasuk in Bereishis, Ephahim Rayim, where are my brothers? Where are they grazing? So then the Gemara says, no, you can't entertain that it was anything but Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the Chassid, it says over there in that pasuk in Eve that we quoted before, it says, moreover, it says, not only did he say that, he also said, who will give that in the book will my words be transcribed? Now, Moshe is the one who's called the one who inscribes and transcribes. The Chassid, it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, says that, the Yah Rishis Lai, which is a reference to the Shevet of God that they saw the first to that to him, meaning which part of the land they wanted to take on Evel Yarden, Kisham Chalkis Mechaikik Safin, because that is where the portion of the Mechaikik is hidden. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, and we see he's called the Mechaikik. He's the one who transcribed the Sefer Torah. That's how we see that Meet Mesefer V'Yachaku is going to be referenced to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why we know the Gzeishav of Eifoy is regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, not Yitzchok or Yaakov or Yosef. So that supports that opinion. As we said, the time the Baisa says explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Viv because he lived at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. A different opinion, Rav Amar, he says, Eiv b'mei meraglim hoya. Eiv lived during the days of the spies. Ksev Achad says over here in the Pasuk in Eiv, Ish haya ba'eretz Utz. There was a man in the land of Utz, and Eiv Shemayitne, his name was Eiv. Ksev Hasim says over here in the Pasuk b'midbar, Hayesh ba'etz. That they were the miraglim were there to find out if there is a tree. Now, so you see Utz and Eitz, so therefore that we know that he lived during the times of the miraglim. Now, the Gemara asked me, dummy, is that comparable? Hacha Utz, Hasam Eitz. What's the commonality? Although it sounds similar, but there is the word Utz and here it's Eitz. So that the Gemara says, Hacha Kamal Moshe Li. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, that when he was sending the miraglim to say Hayesh Ba'etz, he was asking, Yeshnei la'ase Adam, is there that man, Sheshneisav Aruchis Ke'etz, that his years are long like a tree, because Eve lived a very long time, Umegan al-Doyre Ke'etz, and that he protects on his generation like a tree. So that, yes, it's not Utz and Eitz, but it's reference to Eve, who lived in Utz, who he lived as long as a tree. That's where we see that he lived during the times of Meraglim. There was one of the rabbis that was sitting in front of Reb Shmuel Nachman. He was sitting and he was saying that actually Eve lo haya. Eve never was. He was never created. The whole Sefer Eve is a parable. And what's the purpose of it? It's to teach what to respond to those who complain about the attribute of Hashem's justice, and also to teach us that a person doesn't get punished for things he does or says in the times of distress, when he's under emotional duress. Rather, it's a mashal just to teach these lessons. Amalei, so Reb Shmuel ben Nachman said to this rabbi, Alecha makro, regarding you, the pasuk says, Ish haya be'eretz Utz Eiv Shmai. There was a man in the land of Utz that his name was Eiv, where obviously we see that he did exist because it's saying haya that he was. Now, so that rabbi responded, he says, wait a second, Elameata, but then take this pasuk in Shmuel base, that David HaMelech was being reprimanded for what he had done with Bathsheba, that he had taken someone else's only wife. And the prophet told him a mashal. He says, he was talking about a certain incident where he wanted to know David HaMelech's psak. He says, V'larosh inkal. The poor man didn't have anything. Kiyim kivsa achas ketana, but rather one small ewe, one small sheep, ashekana that he had acquired, v'cheyeho, v'goyman that he kept it alive, etc. And the end of the pasuk says, "V'tehilay levas," and that for him, it was for him like a daughter. Now, another question is, "Mi hava?" Did that incident really happen? Because it says "Fatihi," and that it was no. Elamashal ba'amah. It was a parable that the prophet was telling David to find out that his justice, that the person is guilty, and he says, "And you're that person." I was just telling you a parable. So Hachanami Mashal ba'amah says here also it was a parable. What? Because it says "Haya," yeah, "Haya" in the story of the parable, but that doesn't mean that it actually happened. So that Reb Shmuel ben Nachman responded, "Im came, but if that's the case, Shmei v'shem iri lama, then why would it be important if it's just a mashal to say his name, where he lived? If it was just made up, it wouldn't be necessary to say it to that extent. Obviously, it's historical data because Eve actually existed and he was a real person." Now, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar de Amr Tavaya, they both say, "Eve ma'ila goylahaya." He was from those who had come back from the exile of the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. His base medrash, his study hall was in Tveria. Now, Meisve, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation the following Braisa. Braisa says, "You may shneisav shel Eiv, the days of the years of Eiv, were Mishosha Nichnusu Yisrael Mitzrayim Vachyetzer, from the days that the Jewish people came to Egypt until they left. So you see clearly that it was at the time period of the Jews in Egypt, not from those who came back from the exile of the Beis HaMikdash back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not difficult. Ema say, like the amount of time that the Jewish people had entered into Egypt until they left, meaning a reference to the 210 years that the Jews spent in Egypt. Because actually, as Rashi proves this, the Pasuk in Eiv says, Hashem doubled everything that Eiv had. He then rewarded him, he gave him double whatever he had. Now, so too his years were doubled. Where the Pasuk says that Eiv lived after this whole incident, he lived for another 140 years. So if everything was doubled, including his years, it's obviously before that he was 70 years old. And now he doubled for another 140 after that the afflictions happened. So 140 plus 70 is 210, which is exactly the amount of time that the Jewish people were in Egypt. But really he was from those who came back from the exile, from the diaspora. It was just that saying the amount of time that the Jews were in Egypt, that's how long he lived. But the Gemara asks Meisvet. The Gemara asks the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shivin Neviim Nisnabalu Umas Oilam. There were seven prophets that prophesied for the nations of the world. The Elohim, they are Bilam, the Aviv and his father, the Iyev, Eliphaz HaTimni, Uvildad HaShuchi, V'Tzofan HaMasi, V'Elihu Ben Barachel HaBuzi. So obviously you see that it was a non-Jew, because here are all the non-Jewish prophets. For the non-Jews, how can you say he was from the Oile Goile, he had a Beis Medrash in Tveria, when he's obviously a non-Jew? So that he responds, wait a second. Well, Tameich, according to your reasoning that you're asking this question, one of those seven prophets you mentioned were Eliyahu ben Barachel. Says the Gemara, Lav mi Yisrael Hava, was he not a Jew? V'hoksib mi Mishpachas Ram. It says that he was from the family of Ram. But obviously from the fact that it goes through his lineage and it mentions his name and the name of his father, the name of the family, obviously that this Eliyahu ben Barachel was Jewish. Or some say the proof is actually from the fact that it says he was in Mishpachas Ram, which is an abridged version of saying Avraham. So obviously he was a Jew. Ella rather, Inavu Inavil Umas Oilam. It's just that he prophesied for the nations of the world, but he himself was Jewish. So Achanami, Eiv Inavu Inavil Umas Oilam. So that's not difficult either. Eiv was from the Oile Goyla. He had a Beis Medrash in Tveria. It's just that he prophesied for the nations of the world. Now that the Gemara asks, but Atu Kula Neviim Milo Yenavu Umas Oilam. What do you think? And all the other prophets didn't prophesy to the nations of the world? How are you saying that he was Jewish? It's just that he prophesied to the nations of the world, and that's why he's counted in that Braisa. But what do you mean? Every Jewish prophet prophesies to everyone in the world. So that the Gemara answers, no. Hasam Ikenivu Esai Li Yisrael. By regular Jewish prophet, although that there were those who prophesied for the rest of the world, but their primary prophecy were for the Jewish people. Hacha Ikenivu Esai Li Umas Oilam. Here, their primary prophecies word for the nations of the world. So, but still, we could say he's Jewish, like this Eliyahu ben Barachel, but it's just that he prophesies to the nations of the world. But the Gemara still asks on this interpretation. Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, Chasid hayu b'umay sa'olam. There was a pious person from the nations of the world. And the Eiv Shmai, his name was Eiv. V'leibol ha'olam, and the only reason why he came down to this world was Elikadei l'kabaschar, was to receive his reward. Havi HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo b'yisurin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon him affliction. Hischel Macharev Magadav, he began to blaspheme and to throw things towards and complaints to Hashem. Kafel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechor Ba'olam Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doubled his reward in this world, Kedei L'tard Dim in Olam Haba, so to chase him away, not to get the world to come. So you see that he was from the Umas HaOlam. So the Gemara, you're right, Tanoi, right, this Brice is obviously not like the two Amaram that we mentioned before, but it's a Machlekes Tanoi, the Tanoi like learned the Brice. Rabbi Lozai, he says, different opinions. Eiv b'mei shveit ha-sheftim haya. Eiv lived during the days of when the judges judged, what's called the period of the sheftim, which on the name of the sefer is called sefer sheftim. Shnemek says, the pasuk in Eiv says, hin atem kulchem chazisim. Behold, you all you see, v'lam ha-zehevot ha-vol, and why are you practicing vanity? Now, explains Rebbe Lazar, eza der shekuli hevel, what generation was total vanity? Because it's saying, why are you all doing hevel to hevel? Now, what does it mean the generation is total vanity? That even the good people in that generation were nothing. Because as the Gemara will shortly explain, that even those that were judged in the court case, they had what to tell the judges and to say, you're telling us, you the judges, you're worse off than us. So which generation was that was Kulei Hevel? Hevel is Zederish al Shveit HaShreifim. That's a generation of when the judges judged. And therefore, Eiv, who it says that it's all Hevel, must have been living at the time of Shveit HaShreifim. He gives a different interpretation. It says, Eiv lived during the days of Achashverosh. Kashnemet says in Sefer Eiv, "Lo nimtza nashim yafes kibnois Eiv b'chol ha'aretz," that it wasn't found beautiful women like the daughters of Eve throughout the entire land of the world. Now, Ezehu Darsh and his backish by Nashim Yafes, which generation was it that they were seeking to have beautiful women, that they were on the lookout for beautiful women? Have Oimez, the Darsh al Chashverz, just like says in Megillas Esther, that was the generation of Achashverz that was looking for the most beautiful woman to marry. On that, the Gemara asks, but the Oimez bin Main David, maybe say that it was during the times of David HaMelech, because the Chsibah says, Apostle Melachim Alav, Yavakshu Nara Yafes, they were looking for a beautiful maiden for David HaMelech. That says the Gemara, no, Hasam b'chol gvul Yisrael. There by David, they were only looking through the entire boundaries of where the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael. Hacha b'chol ha'aretz. Here it says throughout the entire land, which was Achashverosh, who he ruled over the entire world, it was also over the entire land. So therefore, this opinion says he lived during the times of Achashverosh. Rav Nasanaymer, he says, Eiv b'mimalchah Sheva haya. Eiv was during the reign of Sheva or Sheba. Shlomo, like it says in the pasuk, "V'tipol Sheva v'tikachim," like we see in Eiv, that it says that the Sheva, the people of Sheva, came and pounced on them and took them. So therefore, you see that it was during the times of Malchus Sheva. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, as we're going to see from the next opinion, that moreover that there was a troops from Kazim that also pounced on them, but the primary was that it was during the times of Sheva. Whereas V'chachamim, they say, "Now Eiv b'mei Kazdim hayah." Eiv was during the days of the Kazdim, or was during the times of Nebuchadnezzar. Where additionally Rashi points out that also there was troops from Sheva that also pounced on him. Shlomo says in the pasuk, "Kazdim somu shleisha rashim," that the Kazdim placed three heads, meaning three different channels, how they attacked onto Eiv. So that's why this opinion, the Chacham say, there was during the times of the Kazdim. The Yeshayim, that those who say that Eiv b'mei Yaakov haya, Eiv lived during the times of Yaakov Avinu, and v'dina bes Yaakov nasi, actually married Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. Because Ksiv Hach, it says over here that Eve said to his wife, "Kedaber achas hanevol sedaber," you speak like one of the people that speak nevola, things that are inappropriate. Now Ksiv Hashem says over there in the pasuk regarding when Dina was violated by Shechem, it says ki nevola asabi Yisrael, because Shechem did a nevola to Dina amongst the Jewish people, the daughter of Yisrael, who is Yaakov Avinu. So we see that nevola is a reference to Dina, and therefore if he's saying that you talk like achas hanevolis, it's a reference to his wife, that Dina. So David, the Gemara concludes now, regarding that we had asked before, that we brought a Tan of the Brice that seemed to say that Eve was a non-Jew, yet the previous Amram had said that he was from the Oile Goyle, had a base mentioned Freddy that he was Jewish. So that the Gemara explains. V'kula Tanoi, all the Tanoim of this Brice, Svir Lu Di'iv Mi Yisrael Hava, they all agreed to that previous to Amram, that he was Jewish. Lavar Mi Yesh Oimrim, except for the Yesh Oimrim who say that it was during the times of Yaakov, where then the only Jews were Yaakov and his children, and therefore, obviously, Eve, who was at that time, was not a Jew. But you see, all these Tanaim do say like us that he was Jewish. And the proof of that is, because if you say that he was he was during those time periods, but he was non-Jewish, let's say at the times of the Shaftim or during the times of Achashverosh and so on that the Gemara says it's not possible. Because Basad the Shach of Moshe, after Moshe Benu had passed away, Mishar Yeshchina Alevdi Kecham, do you think the divine presence ever rests on an idol worshiper, on a non-Jew, where Eiv had the divine presence? He had this dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Vamamar, but the master in the first paragraph of Maseches Brachos of Zayin and Aleph said that Bikush Moshe requested from Hashem, Tisha Shechina al Evdei Kechavim, that the divine presence should not rest on non-Jews. V'nas Laim was given to him, Shnei like says the pasuk in Shemais, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'niflinu ani va'amcha, that let me and your nation be separated when you go with us, different than all the other nations, that the divine presence will not rest on them. And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu was answered in the affirmative, so obviously if he lived at these later time periods, obviously they held, like Rabbi Yechanan, that he was a Jew. And just that it's a machlekes, it's our opinion, who holds that he was a non-Jew. Now the Gemara now clarifies some psukim that we mentioned in the previous Braisa. So Amr B'Yechon, he says, Derishal Eiv, the generation of Eiv, Shatav Bezimahaya, was steeped in immorality. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Eiv, Hin Atem Kulchem Chazisim, like we mentioned this pasuk before, behold, all of you see, V'lom Ezeh Hevel Tevalu, why you all engage in vanity? Now, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Shir Hashim, it says, Shuvi Shuvi Hashulamas, the nations of the world tell the Jewish people, return, return, all whole one, complete one, Shuvi Shuvi Nechzebach, turn and let us see you, which is a term of immorality, to look at women, turn around, let's see how beautiful you are. where the non-Jews tell the Jewish people, come back to our ways and engage in morality like us. So because we see the term b'nechzabach, let's look and gaze at you. Look how beautiful you are. That's what people do to women. That's exactly what was done in the days of Eve. Now that the Gemara asks, how do you know that the word chazisim by Eev means the b'nechzabach over there of gazing immorally? Eim b'nevua, maybe it means gazing with prophecy. Just like it says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayah, chazoin Yeshayah ben Ometz, which is called Shabbos chazoin, that Yeshayah, this in the moment, that he saw a prophetic vision. So now the Gemara says, im kain, but if that would be the case, then lama zehevel tavalu lamali, then why would I need the pasuk to say that Eve is saying that why are we engaging in vanity if it's talking about prophecy? Obviously it's talking about low things, like it's steeped in immorality, which is gazing inappropriately at women. Another teaching from Rabbi Yechanan regarding one of the psukim mentioned before was Ma'idach Siv. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk Vayhi b'mei shvayt ha-shayftim, that it was in the days of when the judges judge, when it opens up the sefer shayftim? What does that mean? So says Rabbi Yechanan, it's a derush shayfer shayftim. Shayf, it means shvayt ha-shayftim, means they judge their judges, which means to say because actually the judges themselves, who they're supposed to be on the top of the moral and ethical ladder, they themselves were ruined people. And therefore, anyone that would come to court that was being judged would be able to rebuke the one who's rebuking him. And that is, if the judge would tell him, Tul kisim ebeinei necha, or like the Gir says, shinecha, take a splinter, take the toothpick from out of your teeth. In other words, what he's telling him is, you know, stop doing that small little sin that you have. Then then the defendant was able to tell the judge, Tul karib imeinei necha, take the beam from between your eyes. In other words, you're telling me about my small violation? Take out your big problem that you're doing. You're worse than me. So too, if Amaloi, if the judge would tell him, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayah, Kaspei chayil asigim, that your silver was turning into dross, meaning it's getting ruined. So Amaloi, so the defendant could tell the judge, Saveich, your wine is mahol, is mixed, b'mayim, with water, you're worse off than me. And that was during the times of the period of called the time of the judges. Now, continuing on what we mentioned before regarding that Eve was, according to one opinion, during the reign of Shiva. So Amar Bishmul ban Nachmeinu Amar Bienis, and he says, Kolo Imer Malchus Shiva Isha Haya, whoever says when it says there Malchus Shiva, translating as the Queen of Sheba, that she was a woman, Ina Elataya, is only mistaken. Because my Malchus Shiva, what does it mean, the Malachas of Shiva, which seems in the feminine to be the Queen of Sheba? It's Malchuset Shiva, it's the reign of Shiva, but it's not a reference to this woman, the Queen of Sheba. Now the Gemara continues now expounding the psukim, the narrative of Sefer Eiv. Vahi Hayayim, it says that, behold, that the day was, Vayivoyu b'neyu eleim l'syatzev al Hashem, that the angels came in front of Hashem, Vayavagam ha-satan metechem, and the satan, who will explain in the next daf who the satan actually is, he's the prosecuting angel, he also came amongst them. Vayam Hashem al ha-satan, so Hashem said to the satan, Me'ayin tavay, from where are you coming? So Vayana satan v'goymer, and satan responded, etc., where he said, Mishait ba'aretz u'mesalch ba'i, said, I came from wandering the land and going around in the land. So the Gemara expounds that Amal Afanav, he said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, Shatati b'chol ha'olam kulo, it's interpreting those words of v'goymer of the etc., that I wandered the entire world, v'lemitzasi nemen ka'avdach Avram, I didn't find anyone as trustworthy as Avram. Shamartle, you told him, Kum hisalich ba'aretz la'arkar l'rachba, go and wander on this land to the length and the width, go travel it. Kilachot nana, because to you I'm going to give it. Now that's why when Eve, when the Satan used the words umishalich ba, whereas he was coming to refer to tell him that regarding the person that you told him hisalich ba'aretz, that's where I'm coming from. That is, although you told Avram Avinu, you're giving him the whole Eretz Yisrael, and even so, that b'shoshle matzama kum likvar asara, even though when it came time to bury his beloved wife, he didn't find anywhere where to bury her, achakana b'dal mei shekel kasav, he had to actually pay from the land that's supposed to be his, he had to pay 400 silver shkalim, but lehir achim in desach, and he still did not think after your ways to wonder what is this, that Hashem promises me this, and I can't even get a burial spot for my wife, I have to pay 400 shekel kasav, he didn't ask any questions. That's how trustworthy is your Avram. Now, the pasuk says over there, V'yem Hashem al-Satan. Hashem said to the Satan, Hasamta libcha el avdi Eiv? Did you place your heart, did you think about my servant Eiv? Ki in kamayu ba'aretz v'gam, because there's no one like him in the whole land. So Amar B'yechon, B'yechon says, Godla Nema B'yiv. It's actually what, it's greater what said regarding Eiv. Yisim Shanema B'Avram, greater than what said regarding Avram. The Ilu B'Avram, because regards to Avram, it says in Sefer Bereishis, Ki Ati Adati, Hashem says through a Malach regarding Avram Avinu, because now I know, Ki really came out that you're someone who fears God. B'yiv, but B'yiv, it says over there in that Pasuk, more than that. It says, Ish Tam, a complete man, v'yasher, an upright, Yirelikim, fear of God, v'sar mirah, and turns away from evil. So you see, much more appellations are said regarding Eve than regarding Avram Avinu. And that's why Hashem is responding when he's saying he went to see his most trustworthy person, Avram. He says, did you look at my Eve? Now the Gemara asks, my v'sar mirah, what does it mean that Eve would turn away from evil? So Amar Abba Bar Shmuel, he says, Eve vachin b'memayna hayu. Eve was someone who is forgiving regarding his money. How so? So in Hagin Shal Olam, the custom of the world is, if let's say somebody hires someone to do a small job for him, so he tells the worker, look, I only owe you a half a pruta, but the thing is, there's no such denomination of a half a pruta. So let's go to the store, and for one pruta, we'll buy a loaf of bread or eggs, and we'll split it, we'll divide it. Which he tells the person, Noisin Chatzi Pruta L'chemani, let's give the half a pruta to the store, and then from the store, then we'll be able to divide the item. But Eev was not like that. Vitra, he was forgoing on the second half of the pruta mishaloi from his own, and he gave to the worker the entire pruta because it was bad in his eyes. That's what said Bissamira, it was bad in his eyes to be so nickeling and diming for something so small that's not even so significant of money. Now, Rabbeinu Gershom actually gives a slightly different interpretation. Bissamira is in the word of ra, of like reyav, of his friends, of his colleagues. And he wasn't the same as regular people who they usually say, well, I owe you half a pruta, let's go to the store and we'll divide the item that cost a pruta. He wasn't, he said, okay, look, there's no half a pruta, you take the entire pruta. That means he was sarmi ra. Now, v'yana satna sashem v'yemeh. So, Satan responded to Hashem and said, wait a second, I said Avram Avinu was the most trustworthy. You're telling me, and what about Eve? So says Satan, hachinam yari Eve elihim. What do you think, it's for nothing that Eve fears God? But you protect over him and over his whole family. As the pasuk there continues, where uva'ad kol asher lo misaviv, and everything that he has from around, masayad barachtu, you blessed the acts, the workings of his hands, umikneu paritz pa'aretz, and his flock is bursting on the land. So, of course, he fears you and knows you and does the right things. Could you give him all the blessings? Now, the question is, my ma'isi yada barachta, what does it mean when the Satan said that because you blessed his ma'isi yadayim, the actions of his hands? So, Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, it means, call a nitl pruta me'iv mizbarach. Anyone that would just take a coin from Eve would already be blessed and successful with that coin that he took from Eve. That's what ma'isi yada, even his money, would create blessing. Mayu mekneu parts barach, what does it mean that his flock, his cattle, was bursting on the land. So Amar B'Yisrael Bar Chanina, it means Mekneu Shel Eiv, that the flock of Eiv parts a Gidr Shel Olam, it breached the barriers of nature, of the world. Because Minhag Shel Olam, the normal way of the world is Ze'evim Hargim Ha'izim, that the wolves eat the goats. Mekneu Shel Eiv, but by the flock of Eiv, Izim Hargim Ha'izim, his goats would kill wolves. And obviously that's something beyond the normal thing, and therefore the Satan says, of course, he has a great relationship with you, Hashem. You do everything for him. And says the Satan, V'ulam, however, says Satan, with his proposition, Shlach no yatcha, send your hand, V'gab chalash loy, and then touch everything that he has. Im loyal panachi v'rchecha, says the Satan, says, and let's see if he's not going to, quote, euphemistically bless you, means say, Chaz Shom, curse Hashem, because all the suffering you're going to bring on him. So V'yem Hashem ala Satan, so Hashem responded to the Satan, he said, whatever he has, whatever he owns, is in your hand, he tells the Satan. Rak elava tishlach yadcha b'gemer, but just him you shouldn't be allowed to touch. So, in other words, Hashem is allowing the testing for Eiv to happen. So it says, vayhi ayam, that it was on that day, uvanov avanaisav eichlem b'sheisim yayin b'veis achem abachar, that his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the firstborn. Umalach ba'al Eiv ayamer, and a messenger came to Eiv saying, Habakar hayuchershes v'gomer, that the cattle were plowing, etc. With the pasuk that concludes, vaseinis royis al yedeim, that the she donkeys were grazing through them. Now, the question is, Maya Bokar Hayachershes, what does the pasuk mean when it says that the flock, that the cattle were plowing, Vasainis Royas Ayadeim, and that the she donkeys were grazing through them? It sounds like through the cattle that were plowing, that right away the she donkeys were grazing what they were plowing. What that sounds like is that the she donkeys were eating the chaziz, which are the things that sprout the first part of growth of plantation, from the furrows that were being plowed by the cows, which that it sprouted right away. So on that, Amr Birchin, he says, Malamed, it comes to teach us, Shehitima HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eve, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eve to taste, as we continue to on top of Tezayin Menalf, Me'ein Olam Haba, something that would be from like what's going to be in the world to come. As the Pasuk says in Yirmi Lamed Aleph, which the Gemara Dashtim Sech the Shabbos of Lamed Beis, says, Haru B'Yiledes Yachtav. And the way the Gemara Dashtim says over there, the words say that there's going to be conception and birth together. Which the Gemara says, it means to say that a woman's going to become pregnant and give birth in the same day. That's how there's the speed of time is going to be. So that's exactly what happened with Eve. That's how blessed he was that he had, that when the cow would be plowing and there were seeds inside, automatically right after it would already sprout up, and then the she-donkeys would already be grazing right next to each other. That's how blessed Eve was, and that's where it starts with, we'll continue on the next daf regarding this, that suddenly his fortune started changing because Sutton said, hey, of course he's so great because you give him all the blessing. Let's see what happens, how much he believes and trusts in you, Hashem, after all the suffering is brought upon him.